On Friday, Hayden High School boys basketball team was playing in the state tournament over in Salina. And so I and the vice principal, Mike Monahan, one of our parishioners, we decided we would fly over there because that's the only way I was going to make the game, because I had appointments here at the parish and I just needed to jump in the airplane and I needed to be in Salina quick. So we decided we would fly. And Lent, of course, had just started, and it was a Friday in Lent, and things were going well. I was really excited that I was getting back on track. I was giving up good things for Lent and excited to be moving forward in new strength here in Lent to discipline myself well. Well, as soon as we got to the airport in Salina, parked the airplane and came into the office there, and there on the counter, right at the office where I was trying to pay for gas, was a huge plate, free cookies for pilots. Like, oh my goodness, what is God doing? Like, I was just getting good, and you put cookies right there. And I'm like, I'm not going to look at the cookies. I will not look at the cookies. I will not touch the cookies, lest I die. And so I paid for my gas, and very triumphantly, we got out of there, and we got to the basketball game. But then I came back from the basketball game, and sure enough, there are the cookies, a fresh batch, free cookies. I'm like, no, we are going to the airplane. We are going to the airplane. And I made it past the cookies, and we safely left Salina. It was a triumph. But I had to ask, God, why do you do this to me? I'm just getting started, and you're putting cookies in my way. My goodness, what are you doing? I think we all kind of have that feeling sometimes, like, why the temptation, God? Can't you spare me this? I just want to be good. I just want to do what you want me to do. Why do you put all these obstacles there? And I thought about that as I read our first reading today. And you know, it says very clearly that God creates everything in Genesis. He says, it's all yours. Eat of any tree you want. Go anywhere you want. You know, climb a tree if you want. Go swim in the river. Do whatever you want. It's all yours. It's all good. Oh, but except, Not this one tree. Just don't eat the fruit of the one tree. Why does God do that? Why did he have to put a tree that they can't eat? I mean, God, just don't make that tree. Is that tree really necessary after all? Don't put it there. Adam and Eve would have been fine. We almost feel sometimes, isn't it God's fault that Adam and Eve sinned? I mean, after all, he put the tree there and said, don't eat it. If he hadn't done that, they wouldn't have sinned. Why does God do that? Why does he allow these kind of temptations, these seeming obstacles? And we've all got them. We can look at our lives and name them. It seems like every time we try to do good, there's an obstacle. Why? Couldn't God get rid of them? Well, certainly he could. But we see that if we are truly going to be able to love God, we have to be free. God created us with freedom so that we could then use our freedom to choose him, to love him. If there's no tree in the middle of the garden, one little tree that God says you can't eat of it, then they're not really free to tell God that they love him, because there's no opportunity to say no to anything. Every time Adam and Eve saw the tree in the middle of the garden, it was an opportunity to affirm, yes, our Father that loves us made all this for us, and he said, not that tree. And he must have a good reason, because he loves us. And every time they saw that tree, it would have been an opportunity to trust their Heavenly Father and say, we love you. Instead, see, the serpent gets in there. And what does the serpent do? The father of lies. He says, did God really tell you you can't eat the food of any of the trees in the garden? We see right away, a lie, deception. God did not say that. And Eve knows it. She says, no, God just said we can eat anything, just not that tree. And again, the devil, the father of lies, tries to get her to trip up, to trick her. And what does she do? She begins to doubt the love of the Father. God knows that if you eat that food, you'll become like him. That's why he told you don't eat it. He's trying to keep you down. He doesn't want you to be happy. God doesn't want you to have everything that you could have. That's why he told you don't eat that tree. And we see doubt is sown, and all of a sudden trust, which is so necessary for love, is gone, and there's sin. We tend to do the same thing in our own lives. We begin to doubt God and his plan. if God really loved me, would this be happening in my life? Would God really allow all these obstacles in my life if he really loved me? We see that that path is a deadly path to go down, to begin doubting God's love for us. What if instead we were to see those little obstacles that come up in our lives as opportunities? As hard as it was in Salina, I actually tried to look at the cookies and say, okay, God, I know what I gave up for Lent. I'm not going to have those cookies. I'm going to try to love you more than a cookie. It was really hard. But it was a small opportunity. I'm like, can't I love God more than a cookie? I'm like, okay, God, I will make it. I will not eat the cookies. And I didn't. And it's just that little way. Right away, God allowed me to strengthen my will to say, yes, God, I love you more than a cookie. And if I can do that, maybe I can say yes to God in bigger ways. Because in truth, sometimes the best defense is a good offense. And that's really what Lent is about. Not that we cower in fear of sin, but triumphantly. We go out and we say, no, I'm in charge. I can decide what I'm going to say no to and what I'm going to say yes to. And if I can say no to a cookie, maybe I can say no to some other really sinful things that I shouldn't do. If we are faithful to that kind of discipline during Lent, then we arrive at Easter knowing that we're stronger. That each time we encounter these obstacles, we tell God, I love you more than this. I trust you. And that's especially important in the bigger things that are really hard, bigger than cookies. So this Lent, we have an opportunity to practice being spiritual athletes for Christ. Because it's not easy. There are big things to overcome. But you know, we have a beautiful rite that our catechumens are with us today. They are ones preparing for baptism. And part of the rite of preparing for baptism is that the catechumens are anointed with the oil of catechumens. We just did this last week. Just like an athlete who's going into competition might put oil on their muscles to get ready. We would charge much more today and call it sports cream, but it's oil to get ready. So the catechumens were anointed this week to prepare them for the spiritual battle that is involved in getting to baptism at Easter, because the devil certainly turns up his efforts during this time. But all of us before our baptism are anointed with that oil of catechumens, symbolically, to prepare us to be athletes for Christ. That there are real battles to fight, real difficulties, and we have a real enemy, as is so clear in our gospel today. But notice that it's the Spirit that leads Jesus into the temptation. He goes there to be tested, but also to test his own love. Does he trust the Father? And of course, Jesus does. The big question for us this Lent is, can we see the obstacles, the temptations, as God's gift to us? Little opportunities each day to tell God we love him. People often ask, when I give things up for Lent, you know, do Sundays count? Because I've heard other people say, you know, Sundays say they don't count. Is that true, Father? Well, the truth is there really are no rules here. Back in the days when, we fasted every day, it was true. Okay, Sundays, maybe you can eat a normal meal rather than fasting on bread and water for every other day of the week. If that's what you're giving up, then maybe it makes sense. But if you're going to give up going to the movies for Lent, it doesn't make sense to say I'm going to go every Sunday and then say I give up going to the movies for Lent. So the truth is there's no rules here. It's just up to you. Now, obviously, we give up meat altogether on Fridays, but other than that, how much do you want to grow? How much do you want to learn to love God, conquer your own passions this Lent? It's up to you. Jesus voluntarily goes into the wilderness for 40 days, there to strengthen himself for battle. We do the same. So let us see those obstacles as a chance to say, I trust you, God. I love you. Help me to grow. If we do that, we will see just how much we really do love God and trust him, but we will also see how much God loves us and wants us to be happy. That will be the great reward of our challenge this Lent. So be hard on yourself. In the end, find out how much you really love God.